Sons of the Shoe is back. Second segment here on this preview episode, getting you ready for Indiana and Ohio State. And I just got to say, I thought that conversation with Zach was incredible. Gave some really good insight into the matchup at hand. I always think it's nice that we can get guests like that because, Jake, like, nobody knows these teams better than the people who cover them. And I thought he brought some good stuff to the table in terms of challenges that Ohio State could actually face. And, you know, especially in the defensive side of the ball, because I think we all know how good this Indiana offense is under Curtis Rourke. But to get sort of the perspective of what this defense also brings to the table and some of the challenges that they could present Ohio State, I thought was fascinating as well. And I think that conversation really does set the tone for the matchup this weekend, which, by the way, according to our friends at FanDuel, Ohio State 12.5-point favorites at home. And it seems like people are of the belief that Indiana, I don't want to say they're fraudulent, but that Indiana, because they haven't faced anybody, that Ohio State's just going to be a challenge that they just cannot quite get the better of or beat this weekend, especially on the road. And there might be some truth in that, but I still like believe Indiana's going to put up a really good fight in this game.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they didn't. I mean, from Zach, defensive stuff was definitely – he never looked at Indiana as sort of a pushover defense, but I think he brought some stats to the table and just how highly he spoke of that defensive line makes you sort of take a step back of, hey, like, this team might be really good on offense, but they're also not bad on defense. Like, they're going to have to make sure that Will Howard's getting the ball out quickly and doing what he has to do. But the 12.5-point spread, I think that the Michigan game – from Indiana's last matchup, that second half sort of lingering in Vegas's mind in that one, because they looked really good in the first half. That second half, Michigan sort of laid out the, hey, if you're going to beat Indiana, here's sort of the blueprint for it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And I'm sure that that Vegas is sort of picking up on that and using that as part of the reason why they feel Ohio State's just going to be the better team in this one and win by double digits. I also think, though, like, another factor here is the fact that Indiana's coming off of a bye week, right? So they had sort of an extra week to correct some of these things. And Ohio State now has another big injury that they're dealing with, which we will talk about. But yeah, like, anytime somebody who's talking about another team or whatever comes on and says, yeah, this team's defensive line is really good or whatever, it just makes me nervous naturally, because we know that we've talked about it, like, the biggest worry for this Ohio State team has continually been that offensive line up front. And when you're dealing with a bunch of injuries, it makes it even more of a daunting task, it feels like, to trust this group to be that physical team that can dominate in the trenches. And that's how you win football in at the college level, especially. So that does make me a little bit nervous. That said, I still do think, like, and maybe this has implications on the Michigan game, which we will give you guys the Michigan panic meter. Jake is going to, for the first time, do the Michigan panic meter. We're popping his Michigan panic meter cherry, I guess we could say. We're allowed to say things like that on a podcast, Jake, because we're not on the air. So it's a little bit easier. it's the beauty of having a podcast. But I will say this, like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm overly confident, because what we're about to talk about after this is a situation that had me just wanting to crawl into a hole and drink my sorrows away last night. But I do think that Ohio State wins by double digits. Am I willing to go to 12? I don't know. I guess I'll just say they're going to win by, they'll cover the spread, because I just think that they're a better team, and Indiana hasn't been tested maybe in this way all season. We know their schedule is a topic of conversation, which we will get into coming up. But, like, yeah, I feel pretty good about thinking Ohio State's going to win this game. I might be a little bit more nervous about the games on the other side of this game in terms of what some of these things we're about to talk about mean.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'm willing to go, like, cover the spread. I feel like this Indiana team, offensively, they're just so good. I mean, Zach talked about throwing the back shoulder fade. Like, I know that's been a conversation in, like, Ohio State media here for the last, like, 2 weeks. Like, we've been talking about how good he can throw a back shoulder fade. I don't know. Like, when you attack,
well, Denzel, it's funny because Zach was talking about, like, what to attack in the secondary, and I just wanted to scream, like, Denzel Burke. That was what I was going to say.
I had a question written down. We ended up short on time, but I had a question written down of, like, hey, are you essentially, like, is Denzel Burke somebody that you, like, it's a respect, it's a challenge for Indiana, or is that one that you look at, like, this is our target, right? Make him go prove it, because he's been exposed before, so why not see if we can expose him again? I think you run into a dangerous territory of, is Ohio State going to play Denzel Burke in one-on-one coverage throughout the game? Yeah, probably several times.
Yeah.
And if they decide to try to abuse that, I don't know where that leaves Ohio State's defense. That might genuinely be a, hey, you're going to have to figure out a solution here and actually help out Denzel Burke a lot more than you're used to, because Curtis Rourke makes those throws.
Yeah. If
Denzel Burke gets beat or even like a 50-50, the ball will be there for Burke to be overpowered.
And he spreads the ball. I mean, Elijah Sarrett, who Zach talked about, has 649 yards this year. He's the top receiver on this team, 37 receptions, 5 touchdowns. He makes a lot of contested catches. Omar Cooper, who's next in line, has 474 yards, 21 receptions, 4 touchdowns. And even Miles Price has 361 yards receiving, 28 receptions. He's got more than Cooper, and he's got 2 touchdowns. So it's not like these wide receivers maybe aren't Oregon's wide receivers, but they do need to be respected. And yeah, like, you worry about a matchup with Denzel Burke and what that looks like, because he's struggled with inferior guys before. I'll say this. I said earlier this week that I thought Ohio State was still going to win by double digits. I think I'm going to stand by that. I'm going to say that means like 10 points. I think they win by 10. Like, they pull away late because they are the better team in the end. But yeah, like, the spread being 12.5 makes me feel like it's maybe a little bit too high. Where is your head at in terms of the spread and how this game sort of plays out?
Yeah, I'd probably go single digit win.
Okay.
I think Ohio State offensively, probably against that line that we're going to talk about here in a second, I think they probably struggle a little bit there and have to sort of ease their way into the game and figure out what they're doing and make some adjustments along the fly. So I agree. I think you sort of pull away late, but I don't know that I'm willing to give it even double digits. Like, there's too much here that I look at, and I'm like, Indiana could shock you in a few different ways. Like, it's a game that I think Ohio State fans have rightfully now been respecting and taking this as a serious matchup.
Well, let's stop beating around the bush then, because we've put it off long enough. And the terrible news that broke this week on Tuesday night is that Seth McLaughlin, starting center for the Buckeyes, ruptured his Achilles at practice on Tuesday and is done for the season officially. To me, Jake, like, this news was as devastating as possible. Like, I joked, I was actually on the air that night on 92 Through the Fan, and I joked that you could find me after I get done with the show at the closest bar, just sleep at the bar, you know, in a puddle of my own tears, drinking my sorrows away. Because, like, I don't mean to sound hyperbolic here, but this feels like the thing that derails your national championship hopes. I mean, dude, we were worried about this group from the start of the season, right? And then even with the Josh Simmons injury, he goes down, he goes down, and it's like, okay, I don't know what they're going to do. This is a real problem. And then we talked about it on Saturday. Like, the line was starting to sort of round into form, and it felt like this makeshift sort of unit where you moved Carson Hinsman over to a guard, and you knew Seth McLaughlin was kind of like the anchor of this group, and Donovan Jackson was doing the best he could at left tackle and doing some decent things and playing pretty well there and sort of holding down the fort for you enough. Now it's like, and that was, you know, midway through the season or just about midway through the season, and you sort of came out on the other side okay. There was starting to be some consistency here. There was starting to be like, feel like there was some momentum building. And now you lose maybe the guy who's been your best lineman this season in Seth McLaughlin, guy who transferred in this offseason. It was an area of concern for you that you tried to sort of assess and address, and he's been phenomenal. And you're now stuck with the most important time of your season. Indiana, then the Michigan game, which, you know, even though Michigan's having a down year, isn't just going to be a cakewalk, because Michigan lives rent-free in Ryan Day's head. And then a potential Big Ten title rematch against Oregon, and whatever awaits you in the playoff, because I'm assuming Ohio State's going to make it at this point. Like, this is a disastrous scenario. Like, this is the worst possible time for something like this to happen. And now you're trying to regain traction with an offensive line that's now going to resort to some version of like an underclassman that hasn't proven much, and that obviously is going to be pretty raw, and that you're still trying to sort of develop in your program. And you have to do that on the fly at the most important time of your season. Like, again, I don't mean to sound hyperbolic, but I do think this is the thing. No matter what happens from here, I do still picture Ohio State winning the next two games, getting to a Big Ten championship game, and, you know, maybe they beat Oregon or whatever, and we'll see. But, like, I do still picture that. I still picture that happening. But I think this is the thing that derails their national championship hopes. I really do.
Do I want to go there with you? Like, I don't know.
Yes, you do. You want to go there with me.
Interior offensive line, like, it's important. But, like, as long as you can get three guys that sort of mesh together, I feel like it's not the biggest concern. And if we had conversations about being scared about this line before, you're still scared about this line now. Like, that wasn't going away just because Seth McLaughlin was in the middle. Yes, is it concerning? Very concerning, because I agree with you. He's probably been the best offensive lineman all year on a group who's really struggled. I don't know. You're also full of four-star and five-star guys who, yes, you're a little raw, you're a little young. I think you can still piece it together, and a lot of the pressure that you're going to face and the defense that you're going to face is probably going to come from the exterior and not so much through the interior. I think it again comes down to what we talked about sort of after the Northwestern game, is that Chip Kelly now has to get creative. You can't just rely on this makeshift puzzle piece together offensive line to hold up perfectly against some really good defensive fronts. Indiana, Michigan, Oregon, like, those are teams who are going to blitz. They know where the weaknesses are going to be. I think you just have to get creative. Is it an ideal scenario? No. Is it something that I'm going to say this is like the end? This is what actually derails Ohio State season? I don't think so either.
I think that's, listen, the Chip Kelly point is huge. And I do think that is maybe the one, I don't even know if it's like a wild card, but the one like saving grace to all this is that you have a play caller who knows how to kind of get creative and try some different things and, you know, find the best opportunities to get the playmakers that Ohio State has the ball in space. He has done that time and time again. I am curious to see like what version of this line they sort of, you know, birth now that McLaughlin's out. I'm assuming Hinsman is going to who's played pretty well, by the way, at left guard. He's done a pretty good job. I'm assuming he just shifts back to his normal spot at center, and then maybe that paves the way for a Luke Montgomery, who's an Ohio guy, to sort of take over and take the reins.
You'd probably feel better, right, if it was Luke McLaughlin.
Well, I will say, like, yeah, really, if it was like his brother, yeah.
Yeah. He's like,
I actually am, get in there. I actually am intrigued by the prospect of Montgomery, because he had some pretty high expectations and was a highly scouted and recruited player from Ohio, like I said. And I think there's some potential there. So I'm intrigued by that. But I just, you know, on a team that was supposed to be ready to win a championship, it makes me nervous. Listen, I hope that this can be some sort of, you know, JT Barrett getting hurt in the Michigan game. I know that was a more high profile position, but like, I hope this can turn into some like magical, hey, you know, the replacement is still good enough to win you a national championship, and this doesn't end your title hopes type of thing like we saw in 2014. I pray that that's the case. I pray that Ohio State can come this. But, like, you lose Josh Simmons, it's one thing. You lose Josh Simmons and Seth McLaughlin, who have been your best two linemen this year, that's another thing. Like, it's creating it's perpetuating a problem that you were already going into the season very, very thin in those areas and on the offensive line. And now you got to try to overcome that even more so. Against, mind you, like, the best teams you're going to play all season in Indiana, Michigan, potentially Oregon, and then whatever the playoff is going to look like for you. It just feels like a lot to overcome with so many injuries to an area of this team that was already sort of the weak spot on this roster.
Yeah, I'm excited about Montgomery, I'll be honest, because I read a little bit about him once I figured that's who was same boat, right? Hinsman probably slides back to center, then Montgomery, because if not, I think you're playing a redshirt freshman at center. So I don't think we're going there. If we're going there, we got a real problem. But Montgomery, like, in high school, he played tackle. He also started high school as a tight end. Like, he's one of the most athletic guys that you're going to find. He's 6'4", he's over 300 pounds. The dude's a walking unit, okay? Like, he's a unit. I think if you give him some space and let him go show why he's athletic, pull him a couple of times in the run, maybe just let him get out, get ahead of steam if you can, I think you see something there. But yeah, like, we already knew the offensive line was a problem. I think it's just more concerning now, but you still have the same concerns. Like, what is a center in theory doing other than delivering a clean snap and assisting in the blocking game, right? Like making the right reads. Like being a center is essentially, I'm very rarely one-on-one unless I'm faced with a blitz. And I sort of chip and I help out. Like, not to discredit centers, right? I play to offensive line. Like, your center is very important. But in terms of actually like creating gaps and making holes, it's essentially, hey, make the right read and make sure you get a good chip in. I think you just slide Hinsman over there and he'll be perfectly fine. He's not going to be McLaughlin, but he'll be good. They just have to develop a little bit of chemistry with Montgomery. I'd be more concerned than pass blocking on the outside, sort of Donovan Jackson and Luke Montgomery paired side by side.
Yeah. Well, and maybe that's the biggest point here is like, yeah, you move Hinsman inside, great. But the bigger problem then becomes, okay, do you trust Luke Montgomery to sort of hold down the fort at left guard as well as Hinsman has? And that's where your questions kind of reside is like, okay, maybe you're not as worried about the center position, but you're worried now about it, like the concern kicks to that left guard spot where you were starting to see some consistency with Hinsman playing so well in that spot specifically. So I guess to your point, like maybe that's where the real concern sort of comes in, but it's just like testing the limits of an already weak position group across the offensive line in general for Ohio State. And that's what has me a little bit nervous about it and obviously worried about what this means for any national championship hopes that the Buckeyes might have. All right, guys, we're going to take another break as we try to reconcile our emotions from this terrible, terrible loss for the Buckeyes. How are you feeling about the Buckeyes' title hopes after losing Seth McLaughlin, another offensive lineman done for the season? Are you still thinking a title is in the cards, or is this going to be a big shot to those aspirations? You can let us know at the 92 to the Fan YouTube channel and, of course, on Twitter, @Spencito_@VolnickJake, a new Twitter handle for Jake. He gets to become the co-host of Sons of the Shoe, and he just felt like he needed to get a new Twitter handle or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Really, you got hacked?
You know, yeah, my ex support just great. I'm sitting there. I get a little notification up the top, and it's like, login from Bradenton, Florida. I'm like, I don't know anybody in Bradenton, Florida. And then I was locked out. No confirmation. They didn't have to send me an email, even though I had an email linked to the account. It didn't matter. And then ex was like, by the way, not allowed to talk to a real person. They just said, wait, the email was changed? You don't have access to the email? We can't tell it's you. How are we going to tell us what the email is? It's like, no, you let them change my email.
Oh, man. Elon Musk. Elon Musk's Twitter.
We got two-factor authentication now. I mean, I'm taking no risks here. X has now become an absolute lockdown. Like, it is a security breach if you get into my X account.
Yeah, it's not great. Not a great state of affairs. Maybe that's more detrimental to our lives than Seth McLaughlin getting hurt, but we'll find out. Let's take a break, guys. Let me get back. The Michigan Panic Meter for the first time with Jake Volnick. How worried are we after the Seth McLaughlin injury about Ohio State against Michigan and another round of four down territory? Keep it locked. It's Spencer German, Jake Volnick with you on Sons of the Shoe.